everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of Live from Pawnee. I'm Alan, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Mark. Mark, how are you today?
Sir Ron of the Roundtable, I'm good.
Good.
I've been seeing the therapist here at LFP Worldwide at the headquarters with an alarming regularity, and
look, it's no shame. You've been through a trauma.
We're
in a trauma now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we're in the foxhole together.
We are in the foxhole of the final season, final episode coverage, 4 years into the podcast.
It's the end of a journey.
It's the end of a journey.
Mm.
And we kind of said at the end of the last episode, we've got two episodes roughly to go after this. We'll do a recap of the series in the season 7, and then we'll have our own goodbye show where we'll cover the 2020 special. But then that's unless we get an interview with somebody like, I don't know, a main cast member. Let's just say that.
That's right. So if there's a main cast out there and you want to give us a stay of execution, contact us.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime. Mm. We're here anytime.
Anytime.
We'll
I live here.
We will.
Have you not been listening to the show?
We're looking forward to you moving out, to be honest. But yes, you do live here. And
for now.
Yeah. For now.
I got to figure that out too. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back. And Mark, I think before we get into this, we should probably do a short recap to kind of catch people up if it's been a week since or more since they've listened to part one.
Yeah.
And then we're going to hop into their coverage of part two.
Absolutely. And I know I'm well known for my verbosity, but seriously, I'm going to keep this brief because, you know, go listen to it. We encourage you just so you don't miss anything. But in a nutshell, what's happened here is the gang is going through one last job together. They're fixing a swing.
Right.
In the process of fixing the swing, they're going through the steps necessary to stamp the forms and deliver the thing, get the stuff. And
the bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And along the way, we see Leslie interacting with several people. It goes first Donna, then April and Andy. And then, you know, there's John Ralphio and Jam and Tom and Sean Mulway Tweep. And all these people that she's interacting with. And we launch into the future, and Jerry too. And we basically see their story, what happens with them. And so we've covered quite a few, which I think I listed all of them. I may have missed one or so, but that's, they were really, really good. So we have a few more left to go.
Right.
Not a lot, but a few more.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we just left off with Shauna Mulway Tweep's Jump into the Future.
Who have we covered so far? Just very briefly.
So I think there's Donna.
Yep.
And tangentially and Joe.
Yep.
There is a Craig.
Yep.
Who gets married to Typhoon.
Yes,
very nice. There is
April and Andy.
April and Andy. That's right. And that was a nice extended one because there was a lot to tell for them.
Three major chunks of that
Right. Yep. There's John Ralphio.
Yep.
There's Councilman Jeremy Jam.
Yep.
There's Tom.
Tom's story.
Which was a good one.
It was a good one. Yeah, it was a good one too.
We have Jerry.
Well, we had Jam in there.
I already said Jam.
Oh, you did. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I jammed him in there.
We jammed him.
Waggity, waggity. And then we have Jerry, which I thought was also a pretty nice one.
I like Jerry's, yeah.
And we finally just ended up here with Shauna Mulway Tweeps before we ended part one.
That's right. So if my math is correct, we just saw Shauna tweeted. Shauna Newport.
Well, will be. Will not be. Now.
Yeah, well, in the future, right? We know that she's going to marry Bobby Newport.
Mm.
And we're picking up back at the park where Ron is still working on the swing in question.
That's right.
Does that mean we're about to see Ron's future?
Maybe. Why don't we see? Why don't we find out?
Let's find out together.
On account of, I'm going to do the thing I do.
Do the thing, Mark.
All right, I'm going to. So we find ourselves now back in the present, the year 2017, where Leslie is finishing her nice moment with Shauna Mulway Tweep. And beside them, as you said, Alan, Ron continues to work on the swing and Shauna leaves the scene and Leslie walks over to Ron and comments on his excellent craftsmanship. And they sit down next to each other on the swings. And Leslie asks Ron if he's going to stick around Pawnee because everyone's leaving. Like everyone's going everywhere. He's like, are you going to stick around? And he's like, well, yeah, I would imagine so. I don't even know where I would go.
Yeah.
And Leslie scooches her swing over and she lovingly grabs Ron's hand and tells him, well, we're going to come back here a lot. And you know what they say, don't be a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, another transition starts. And once again, the transition resolves into a partial blank screen, this time with the word Ron, along with the Very Good Building and Development Company logo in the lower right corner, and then zooming into a portion of the screen that will tell Ron's story. The screen says Pawnee 2022.
Okay.
And we see lawyer Trevor Nelson, who we know very well.
Love Trevor.
In a meeting with the high-ranking individuals at the Very Good Building and Development Company, including Ron, his brothers, as far as we know,
yeah.
Lon and Vaughn,
yep.
and a few others.
Yep.
Trevor tells them that despite the recent financial crisis, the very good building and development company will finish fiscal year 2022 in excellent financial shape, thanks in large part to the stewardship of the chairman, Ron Swanson. Mm. When Trevor asks Ron if he'd like to say a few words, the camera goes to Ron. And strangely enough, this is kind of uncharacteristic for him. He's kind of like looking off into the middle distance, maybe daydreaming or like thinking about something. Anyway, Trevor's words bring Ron's attention back, and he looks at Trevor and he stands up and addresses the others, saying simply, "I resign as chairman effective immediately." Understandably taken aback, Trevor asks, "Would you like to explain why?" To which Ron answers, "No."
No.
But, all right, that seems like Ron.
That does seem like
After
Ron.
A quick but fair Swanson-esque exchange with his brothers regarding a retirement package, "Just give me what's fair." Done.
Wow.
Ron leaves the boardroom, causing Trevor to blurt out, I'm sorry, what just happened? Ron's brother, Lon, then pipes up, "My brother resigned. No sense dwelling on the past. Any more new business?" Yeah, you need a new chairman for starters. I'll do it. Anything else? Again, Lon, that's not how corporate governance works. Anyway, Ron has quit.
Wow.
So that's something. And we don't know why. We do know that he was like daydreaming, which is kind of uncharacteristic of him. So I think something's maybe on his mind.
I think something's on his mind. Yeah. I mean, we've jumped 5 years from the point at which Leslie grabbed his hand on the swing set.
That's right.
So he's been doing this same grind for 5 years.
Right.
And maybe that's longer.
And maybe a little bit longer, because I think he's been there a little bit longer than just 2017. But point taken.
Well, yeah, good point. Yeah, you're right. 5 years from that point, which is probably what, 8, 9 total?
Something like that.
By this point. Yeah. Well, that was unexpected, but I don't know. Not surprising, I guess. If I'm not mistaken, Mark, we stay here at 2022, but we now jump from Pawnee to DC at the Nope Wyatt household, where they're about to get a surprise visitor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we cut a little bit into the future, but still 2022.
Yeah,
you said, we're now in Washington, DC, and we see Ron knocking on the front door of Leslie and Ben's house. Ben answers the door, surprised to see Ron, lets him inside. We cut to a few minutes into the future. We see Ron, Leslie, and Ben sitting down in the living room together. Leslie commenting on a picture that Ron brought with his three kids, now quickly growing up into fine young men and women. Ron happily talks about his kids, even mentioning that Ivy was accepted into Stanford University. That's not bad.
Nice.
Leslie congratulates Ron, and Ben mentions that's going to cost quite a bit. Did you ever take my advice to diversify your portfolio from gold to other stuff? And Ron confirms that, yeah, he did indeed do that. And when Ben asks what Ron invested in, Ron simply tells him, "Something solid and dependable that will certainly stand the test of time." We then have a brief flashback, flashback, not flash forward.
Correct.
Flashback. To Ron, once again in Europe, surrounded by the tiny islands off the coast of Scotland.
Presumably he did this in the Europe trip we've seen, but we did not see this part of it.
Right.
Got it.
And he's standing in front of the site to end all sights, the Lagavulin Distillery.
Nice.
With one major difference. Hmm. Last time he went there as an enthusiastic consumer and tourist. This time, he's having a business meeting outside with four high-ranking men and women. We hear one gentleman clearly say in a Scottish accent, "Congratulations, you now own 51% of the Lagavulin Distillery." Ron tells him it's a pleasure doing business with him. They all raise a glass of Lagavulin to each other in salute, salante, and they drink. And the flashback ends, and we once again find ourselves with Ron, Leslie, and Ben in the living room of their Washington, D.C. house.
Nice.
Hey, Robonsentine, are you there, buddy? Did we ever turn him on? Oh, he's on.
Yeah, I turned him on when I got in. This
morning. Oh, good for you, because he gets
great. We're buddies now, remember?
Mm, yeah. All right. That's good. So, all right.
Don't be jealous.
Hey, Alan's best friend, Robonsentine. could you please play the rest of Ron's visit with Leslie and Ben, please? Thank you.
So, Ron, what brings you here?
I am at something of a personal crossroads.
Yes. I love personal crossroads.
I once made the mistake of not talking to you at such a moment, and I do not intend to repeat that error.
Well, let's take a walk. There's a cute little park nearby.
I suppose I had simply accomplished everything I wanted to, and there seemed to be little point in continuing.
So, what do you want to do now?
Well, that's the problem. I'm not sure. My kids are growing up. My days in an office feel like a waste. I would like to turn my attention to something that would make me feel useful. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out what. And there are not many people. I mean, we were workplace proximity acquaintances for many years, and so I thought maybe.
Say no more, you big softy. I'm gonna spend every waking moment trying to figure this out for you. You wanna stay for dinner? We're having steak. But we're also hosting several members of the House Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs.
I'll take that steak to go, please and thank you.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
That's nice.
It's another scene on the National Mall there and the reflecting pool, the monument in the background. And I don't know. That was where Leslie had her talk with April.
Well, you're exactly right. And you know what else occurred to me just in the grander scheme? Benches are meaningful.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Trope.
Huge.
And yep. I don't know that, like, it's something that we very rarely call out. We have, but it's rare. And it's been more of a presence here in the series than I think we've realized.
Yeah, if you look back, there are probably as many bench appearances as there were mural appearances. And we definitely noted those along the way. And I know we noted the Ben Leslie bench up on the fourth floor or third floor or whatever.
It was the one in front of the mural Wildflowers.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that on the first
Wildflower
floor?
Bureau. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Where we heard the Tom Petty song.
There's the one by the pit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, you get the point. Benches are important. They're meaningful.
Nope. That's very true.
Yep.
Yep. So, well, and we've, like I said, we've been here with Leslie and April, and for her to be here with Ron, I think, and is really meaningful because this is not a place Ron would come on his own, right?
It's not only a place Ron wouldn't come on his own. For Ron to reach out for help is, I mean, it's not quite unheard of, but it's pretty staggering.
When you can see Nick's physical delivery there too.
He's
rubbing his knees a little bit. He's a little
awkward.
Out of his element.
Yeah.
So.
Nice job.
Well, and I think Leslie will come up with something that I hope is great for.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
So we kind of finish Ron's story with one last transition, if you will. And we now cut to the Pawnee National Park. This is sometime in, again, the unspecified future, Alan, if I had to take a guess, a few months?
Sounds right.
You know,
feels right.
Likely not too long. Anyway, we see Leslie standing on the shore of a lake with a serene, quiet backdrop. And there's a canoe nearby. And we see Ron walk out of the woods and approach Leslie. And Leslie warmly greets him, thanking him for meeting her there. And Ron looks around happily, being outside in nature and just marveling at the surroundings. You can tell he genuinely loves it and tells Leslie what a good thing she did by establishing this national park right next to Pawnee and how beautiful the land is. Hey, Robostantine, please play the rest of Ron's story.
This is a fine piece of land you saved.
Thank you, Ron. You want to run it? The superintendent of Bryce Canyon retired, and I convinced the superintendent of this park to transfer. Shuffled a few things around. The point is, someone needs to take care of this place now. Thought it should be you.
Well, first of all, I would be working for the federal government.
Your job would be to walk around the land alone. You'd live in the same town you've always lived in. You'd work outside. You'd talk to bears. Next argument.
There must be dozens of people gunning for this job. I wouldn't want you to ruffle any feathers. Am I even qualified?
Well, a few people might be annoyed, but they'll get over it. And as far as your qualifications, you're Ron Swanson. Stop being a dummy and accept.
When do I start?
Oh, today. I already accepted for you. I still remember how to forge your signature. Let's go meet your staff.
Nice.
Pawnee National Park Rangers. This is Ron Swanson, your new superintendent and boss.
Rangers, my name is Ronald Ulysses Swanson. Your job, and mine, is to walk this land and make sure no one harms it. If you show up on time, speak honestly and treat everyone with fairness, we will get along just fine. Though hopefully not too fine, as I'm not looking for any new friends. End of speech.
Well said.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome, Ron.
Okay. Time to go to work.
Laugh with me, buddy. Jest with me, buddy. Don't let her get the best of me.
So as the Willie Nelson song is playing, and you hear Ron say, okay, time to go to work. And you see Ron survey his surroundings, and he's just standing there and just taking everything in. And we see...
He's giddy as can be.
We then see Ron out on the lake, paddling in a canoe named Lucky Boy.
Yeah, my favorite.
As he does this, we see the trademark silly Swanson grin creep on his face as he is obviously very, very happy.
Leslie done good.
I kind of thought of this in the same vein as, you know, how Leslie's like the master of gift giving.
Yes.
Very, very thoughtful gifts.
Oh, yeah.
I know this isn't precisely a gift, but it feels of the same magnitude as like when she did the perfect Swanson steak dinner for his birthday.
I mean, in this sense, she's not giving him the job. She's giving him the opportunity to take the job.
Right.
He's got to earn it and by keeping it. But
still, Ron thoughtful and perfect.
Oh, yeah. No, like no better choice.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I love it. So, yeah. And I'm sure that people in political situations have done much, much worse.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mark, I think we now pick up where we left off in Pawnee back in 2017. And Ben has arrived to pick up Leslie and head back to D.C.
That's right. With the telling of Ron's story now complete, we transition back to Leslie and Ron sweetly holding hands on the swing set in the present in the year 2017. Ron and Leslie both get up. Ron gets back to work on the final adjustments for the swing, and Leslie looks to her left and sees Ben standing there and walks over to him. Predictably, Leslie tells Ben how much, Ben, I really want to stay in Pawnee, God. And then Ben smiles and he gets it. He knows his wife, but he also reminds her, look, we still have to pick up the kids and we do have a flight to catch, you know. And Leslie looks at him seriously for a moment, saying, but when is this group of people ever going to be all together again? That's all I want. All these people in the same place at the same time. And Ben smiles at her and assures her it'll happen, you know, someday. And Leslie is fine. Well, okay, well, what's going to happen between now and then? And Ben sweetly reassures her a lot. And it's all going to be great, I promise. And Leslie hugs Ben and we start another transition. And once again, transition resolves into a partial blank screen, this time with the words, Leslie and Ben, our final story.
Nice.
Along with a picture of Washington, D.C. in the lower right corner, and then zooming into a portion of the screen that will tell Leslie and Ben's story. The screen says Washington, D.C. 2025.
Wow.
So 8 years into the future.
Years. Yeah.
Leslie and Ben appear to be at a fancy party in a really nice house.
That's even still in our future.
Yeah. No kidding.
This is the first thing it's been in our future other than Jerry.
I think maybe.
Wow. Okay.
And we then realize whose house it is when we see Joe Biden and wife Dr. Jill Biden walk into the room, welcoming everyone and saying how much they are looking forward to a great conversation and good dinner. And Dr. Jill good-naturedly warns Leslie no talking politics during dinner, which Leslie acknowledges, saying that's fine as long as they all get to play charades later. Hey, Robonson team, play the rest of the Leslie and Ben in Washington, D.C. clip, please.
Damn, that food was good. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Biden knows his way around a seafood risotto.
You've said that before?
Anyway, the point is, yes, I do like working at Interior. I love it. But I'm always looking for new challenges. Why do you ask?
There's a rumor the governor of Indiana isn't going to run again.
Ooh.
And my friends at the DNC are very interested in you as a candidate.
For governor of Indiana? Mm-hmm. Someone's been reading my kindergarten dream journal.
So what do you think? I'll call you next week and we can talk about it.
Oh, okay, great. Well, this is exciting. I'm gonna take this energy and I'm gonna go crush Joe Biden in charades. Dr. Jill, let's pick teams.
Uh-oh.
Move, meet the congressman. This is time sensitive.
Hey, Jen, I didn't know you were here.
I'm everywhere. You wanna be governor of Indiana?
Wow.
What?
Colquitt's not gonna run again. It's a rumor for now, but my gut says it's for real. You're the perfect candidate. Local hero, state government experience, blah, 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 blah. The only potential problem is that devastatingly nerdy Cones of Dunshire thing.
That's a problem? I'm sorry, but it's the ninth highest selling multiplayer figurine-based strategy fantasy sequel game in history. Please don't bail on me because of what just happened.
God.
So I had a pretty interesting conversation with Janet from the DNC tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She said that Governor Colquitt might be stepping down, and the DNC thinks that I should run for governor.
Oh, God. That kind of sucks.
Really? Why?
No, I mean, that's amazing. It's just Jen Barkley kind of approached me about running.
Oh. Hmm. Well, I mean, obviously.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Okay, pros of you running for governor. You would be a great governor. We could make Pawnee our home base. The kids could go to school in Pawnee, and it would be a huge career move for you. The pros of me running for governor are the same thing. It's the same list.
Right.
The only con of you running would be that I don't get to run, and vice versa.
Good, so we've solved it.
Look, we're going back to Pawnee in a week. Why don't we just talk about it after that?
Good idea. Hey, maybe we can drop by the old stomping ground, see how the Parks Department has changed.
I love it. Okay, are you ready?
No, but we don't have a choice, do we?
Oh, dear.
Kids, dinner!
Oh, here they go.
I'm gonna eat my room because I have to study.
Can we go to Bobby's house?
Hey, game?
Dude, you stop. Finish your homework?
Dude, come on, give me the hamburger.
Okay, don't forget
to... back by 8.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.
Okay, get your ice skates. You have a lesson tomorrow.
Bye, Mom. Just
eat. Okay.
All the food's gone.
Wow.
Want some broccoli?
Ugh, no.
Who would?
Even in the future, she still hates broccoli.
Oh, my God. Mark, no one should have to eat broccoli without lots and lots and lots of cheese sauce.
You know,
and that's coming from a mostly vegetarian.
I've said that before, but replace broccoli with everything.
Well, everything. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Mark, that was a good clip. But if I'm not mistaken, Leslie and Ben, the story now continues and we're going to jump forward.
Well, it's like a week into the future.
Okay, so we're still going forward in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I think Leslie and Ben are going to take a trip to Pawnee. They'll be there in about a week and maybe they'll stop by their old stomping ground. So
they've both been offered a shot at running for governor.
Holy hell.
Ben is a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie is, a bureaucrat within the muckety muck within the State Department, I think, technically. So, okay. All right.
So, yeah, we now transition a week into the future with Ben and Leslie now back in Pawnee for a visit. And the grizzle, whatever, outside of City Hall says in like hologrammy, stuff, July 7th, 2025.
Okay.
And we then get an interior shot of Leslie and Ben walking arm in arm down the first floor hallway towards the doors to the Parks Department.
Wow.
And they stop just outside the Parks Department and face each other. Hey, Robosity. Hey, play the first portion of this scene, please. Thank you.
You know, now that I'm here, it's giving me an idea about this governor thing. Maybe we need fresh eyes. You know, other people to weigh in. We should talk to Ron, or Tom, or April, or Donna, or Andy even. Sometimes he can be wise.
Mm-hmm, good idea. Let's call them. Or you know what else we could do? Just talk to them in person.
Oh, wow.
It's what you wanted, right? Everyone in the same room at the same time?
Yep.
I can't believe you. We're all here together in the same room. In this room. I don't think I could be happier right now.
Want to bet?
Hi.
Oh, Anne's here. Anne's here.
Shoves Ben out of the way.
Shoved it.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
You guys, Anne's here.
Should we move away from here?
Yeah, this could go on for some time.
Wow.
It's good to see Chris and Anne again.
It is. It is. So at the end of that clip, let's say that we fast forward maybe 5 minutes, however long it's going to take Leslie to stop crazy hugging Anne.
Oh, dear God.
So we're still in the Parks and Recreation office, and a tiny bit later, this is the gang's long-awaited get-together, and it's now in full swing. And we then witness what are, in my opinion, Alan, some of the best moments of the entire episode. Not even necessarily where dramatic plot points are revealed, but just in the mundane but endearing moments between almost every pair of individuals within the Parks and Rec gang. Just catching up with one another and getting back into familiar routines and rhythms with each other. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
But to get into specifics, it should first be noted that throughout this entire scene, we hear songs being sung by Andy / Mouse Rat in the background, really adding to the whole ambiance and feel of things.
Yeah, it does, yes.
So first of all, we got Leslie is finally done crazy hugging Anne, and now everyone's enjoying food and champagne and talking with one another. And we see Leslie and Anne talking, and Leslie's getting right back into the Leslie Anne compliments, telling her how great her hair looks, how she looks like a cartoon princess. We then cut over and see Tom talking with Donna about his book tour and how he's planning on writing his follow-up entitled Failure 2.0, Failing to Fail. When Tom asks Donna how things are going for her in Seattle, Donna tells him that she and Joe actually spend most of their time on the foundation that, that April helped them set up. Yeah. Tom is a little disappointed that Donna went nonprofit, so to speak. You know what I mean, That's Alan? Right. And That's then true. Essentially, in his eyes, betrayed him and everything they stand for. To which Donna subtly indicates what time it is by showing off her diamond-encrusted watch splat-ow. And then Tom is stunned and like, oh my gosh, there's lots of diamonds in there. Gimme, gimme, gimme. We then see Jerry and Ben talking with Ron, who, interestingly enough, is wearing his park ranger uniform, albeit with lots of strategic duct tape covering up name tags and badges. Because after all, Alan, there's no need to advertise to everyone that he actually
works for the government.
Words, you don't even say that out loud. Anyway, Ron then congratulates Jerry on his run as mayor of Pawnee. And Jerry excitedly talks about how great it is. That is, until he starts choking on a nut that he threw into his mouth. Poor Jerry. We then see Anne with her two kids, Oliver Perkins Traeger and Leslie Perkins Traeger. And just then, April walks up and cheerfully greets the kids. Hey, Oliver. Hey, Leslie. Who wave happily at April and then walk off. And then April looks up and greets Anne. Hello, Anne. Far more coldly, you know, but does tell her that, you know, your kids are awesome.
Surprisingly awesome.
But before finishing the comment by suggesting that maybe they aren't Anne's biological children.
Egg donors,
And Anne takes it in stride, smiling patiently at April. These are, it's so funny how everyone falls back into familiar patterns.
Oh, yes.
You know, so this is expected.
This is great.
We then see Leslie sitting with Chris, apparently going through a long mental list of Leslie Anne compliments, such as, oh, Anne, you rainbow-infused space unicorn. And Chris, realizing the freaking treasure trove that he's found with Leslie just spouting these off, he's writing them all down for future use because he's not nearly as good.
No.
When Leslie notices a grizzle something or other on Chris's wrist, she asks him about, like, what's that? And then that prompts him to smile and he wants to demonstrate. So he takes his wrist and he runs the device from the top of his head down to his chest. And the device chirps and says, you are extremely healthy. Chris cheerfully tells Leslie he does that like 50 times a day. Yikes. And then just then we see Andy peering around the corner at Chris, finally saying, oh, there he is. Chip Traeger, you old son of a gun.
Oh, my God.
And Chris like, Andy, it's Chris. Oh, well. He just walks off. Jeez. Holy cow. We then cut over to Ron with Donna, April, and April's small son, Jack, in some sort of like infant carrier / chair, something like that. And Ron formally greets Jack, you know, introducing himself as Ron Swanson.
That's right.
Before bending over and gently shaking the little guy's hand. And Andy walks up to the group as Ron straightens back up and proclaiming, you know, strong handshake. Well done, you two. When Donna asks if they're going to have another one, April pauses and like suddenly points to her stomach. Like, shh, don't tell anyone. So looks like they're going to have a second baby.
Yeah.
We then see Ben talking with great enthusiasm to Anne about the game Cones of Dunshire. And Anne is listening with, let's call it great patience.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, Tom walks up and gently pushes Ben out of the way, telling him, I need a moment. And then Tom looks at Anne and says, hey, Sugar Pea, I know that you probably imagined us meeting once a year for a rendezvous, Dear but God. I'm happy. I got a great wife, a bestseller, and as always, I remain a style icon. I guess what I'm saying is I'm out of your league and you need to move on. And Anne's response, what? I stopped listening after you called me Sugar Pea. And then that pretty much ends the conversation. And Tom's like, all right. Nice. And he walks off.
Again, familiar patterns.
Exactly.
Yes.
After Tom walks off, we see Leslie excitedly run up to Anne to tell her their kids look like they're falling in love. Oh, and they look out of a window of the bullpen into the hallway and they see Oliver Perkins Traeger and Sonia Nope Wyatt sitting together on the bench in front of the mural of wildflowers.
Oh, boy.
And Anne is pleased as well, but warns Leslie, Leslie, if this is ever going to work, we have to pretend like we disapprove, you know. And yes. Leslie's like, oh, yeah, yeah, like she agrees with him. Yeah. And then, but then she happens to glance over and she sees Sonia like looking up at Leslie and smiling. And Leslie just can't contain her enthusiasm. Like she, yay! And she waves at Sonia and claps and like gives her thumbs up. And oh, and Anne's like, Leslie, refrain yourself a little bit. And then finally, we see Chris talking with Ben and Ron while Jerry is getting food in the background, etc. And in a nutshell, Chris tells them that while he loves Ann Arbor, Michigan, Pawnee's better. So he and Ann have actually decided to move back, at which point Chris is going to run admissions at Indiana University, essentially trading Wolverines for Hoosiers.
Nice.
Ron congratulates Chris and then looks over Chris's shoulder to see Tom and Donna approaching. And Ron says, Tom, I took the quiz in your book about what kind of person I am. I am a Ron. All right.
Nice.
And then Tom smiles and mentions, yeah, I'm usually a Tom, although sometimes I'm a Donna, causing him and Donna to kind of bump fists. And then Ben wants to chime in, right? So Ben's smiling and chimes in. He's like, hey, yeah, last time I actually took it, I was a Tom as well. No. Oh, and this causes Tom to almost have a minor meltdown. And before he rushes off to, as he puts it, recalibrate the quiz.
Nice. Wow. That's a great review. Thank you. No, that's, I love all the little pairings.
Yes.
And, you know, and despite Tom's little bit of upset there, I think everyone's really happy to be together again.
Oh, yeah.
And loving these scenes here in 2025.
Absolutely.
It's crazy to think that here in real time, it's almost 2025 for us.
I know. That's craziness.
Nuts. Yeah. So, Mark, the scene continues here at City Hall. And where are we now?
Yeah, we're still in the good old Parks and Rec office. And
I know, we hear Mouse Rat playing in the background.
Right. And we once again, we cut to like, a tiny bit later, maybe like, 15 minutes, half hour or so. The gang's get together party is still in full swing. Let's put it like that. And we can see now in the, remember the outside courtyard of City Hall there?
Yeah.
Everyone's kids are all gathered out there and they're playing together and smiling and having a great time. And we see Leslie standing in a room by herself, like gazing happily out the window at all the children in the courtyard, smiling and perhaps looking like Leslie looks like maybe she's contemplating some stuff. And a few seconds later, we then cut to Leslie and Ben standing off in one of the old conference rooms, maybe the Jerry Gergich Memorial
room.
That could be, talking to one another about what they want to do about one of them running for governor. Hey, Robinson team. Hey, play our final clip, please.
Things I really want to do.
So, did anyone have any insights on her running for governor situation?
I've been so busy catching up with everyone, I haven't had a chance to ask them.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, here's what I think. I hate when we're on opposite sides. It stinks. Plus, if one of us runs, it doesn't mean we're gonna win.
Right, and it's not like this is the only career option for either of us. So all that matters is that we are good.
Right, which is why I have an idea. I think we should flip a coin. I mean it. Let's literally flip a coin.
Wow.
Because whoever runs is going to do a great job, and whoever doesn't run is going to be right alongside the other one, offering advice and support and whatever they need. So it doesn't matter. So let's flip a coin.
Okay, you, Leslie Knope, the queen of planning and binders and pro and con lists, you want to leave this to chance?
Yes, because whatever's next, you and I are in it together. So let's go tell everybody, and they can participate, and they can sign the coin, and then, you know, the coin will eventually make its way into the Smithsonian. Okay, everybody, gather around. First of all, I just have to say that all of you in the same room at the same time with your children here, it's like, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of America. And secondly, Ben and I have an announcement.
Leslie's running for governor of Indiana.
What?
Holy for you, Nope.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she got approached by the DNC, and they think she has a great shot to win. Indiana native, supremely qualified, and she wrote that she wanted to be governor in her kindergarten dream journal.
Wow.
This makes sense.
So I'm running for governor. Yeah. Ben is going to be running my campaign because he's a super genius, and he's got a tight, compact little body like a Italian sports car.
This is cause for celebration. Let's all go to Tom's Bistro tonight, back under original management, and you all get the friends and family deal. 3% off.
Oh my God, you're too generous, Tom. Right now, I'd like to make a toast. When we worked here together,
We fought, scratched, and clawed to make people's lives a tiny bit better. That's what public service is all about. Small, incremental change every day. Teddy Roosevelt once said, "Far and away, the best prize that life has to offer is a chance to work hard at work worth doing." And I would add that what makes work worth doing is getting to do it with people that you love.
I love that quote, Mark.
Yeah.
And I'd say on a few occasions, I feel like I've been lucky enough to, you know, enjoy working with certain people, present company included.
Oh, so,
yeah.
You guys heard that. You can't take it back.
Yeah,
now.
It's on.
All right. Now, so that was a great clip. It was the final clip we're going to play.
Yeah.
So we have one last jump to make.
Yep.
In the middle of Leslie's toast, or maybe near the end of it, to the gang, we smoothly transition to Indiana University in the year 2035.
Yeah,
so it's now 10 years later.
Yeah.
Fake IU.
Yeah.
And where Leslie, I mean, Governor Knope,
yeah,
is giving a talk to an absolutely packed auditorium during a graduation ceremony. And in the audience, we see Andy, April, Tom, Ben, Donna, Ron, and Jerry. And Leslie tells the audience, "I started my career more than 30 years ago in the Parks and Recreation Department right here in Pawnee, Indiana. I've had a lot of different jobs, including 2 terms as your governor, and soon a new unknown challenge awaits me, which to me even now is thrilling because I love the work. Not to say that public service isn't sexy, because it definitely is," and the audience laughs at that,
right.
"But that's not why we do it. We do it because we get the chance to work hard at work worth doing alongside a team of people who we love.
Love it.
So I thank those people who have walked with me, and I thank you for this honor. Now, go find your team and get to work." And the entire crowd applauds and cheers, and Leslie takes a seat on stage, and another woman named Josephina Academia walks to the microphone. Well, sure it is. Fun
of course
thing.
It is. Yeah.
And she adds the following statement. "In addition to Governor Knope's honorary doctorate from the School of Public Policy, in recognition of all she's done for the people of Indiana, the campus library will henceforth bear her name."
Oh,
and we
God.
See a picture of a building with the words "Leslie Knope Library, IU School of Public Policy." And the crowd cheers and applauds one more time. And we see Leslie smiling, but then she's muttering to herself quietly under her breath, "A bleeping library." With that, Alan, Leslie and Ben's story, our final story, is now told.
Yeah.
And we start our final transition back to 2017 in Pawnee, outside by the swing set, where Leslie is finishing her hug with Ben.
Nice. So, Mark, now it's the kicker.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, the transition finishes back. Ron is finishing his final adjustments to the swing set. A few seconds later, Ron proudly proclaims, "The swing is fixed." And we see the rest of the gang, Andy, April, Jerry, Tom, Donna, are now there to witness this. And they applaud and cheer at Ron's news. So the whole gang's there at this point. Also in attendance is the original gentleman who asked about the broken swing.
Oh, yeah.
And Leslie smiles at him and tells him, "There you have it, sir. Another problem solved by the hard work of dedicated public servants." Well, unfortunately, in what probably could be considered an anticlimactic moment, the man looks at Leslie somewhat nonplussed and says, "All right, great, bye." And just waves briefly at all and just walks off. And then you hear Leslie mutter out loud, "Yeah, it's about right."
Yeah, it's about right.
Because, I mean, it's kind of a thankless job.
Anybody who's ever
sense.
Been in a service job understands that.
Right.
Yep.
At this point, Alan, the gang's final job together is complete. And they stand out there outside with each other in silence, just looking at one another, possibly realizing that this may be the last time that they're all together for quite a while. Finally, Jerry pipes up and tells the gang that Gail made him promise to get a quick picture for old time's sake. And the gang reacts favorably to this, kind of.
Mostly.
And we see Jerry like setting up a camera with the group gathered a distance away. In the series final shot, we see the gang grouped close together for the picture, together one last time. And Alan, even in these last few moments, we see and hear everybody falling back into old comfortable patterns, such as Tom complaining about the bad lighting and wanting to just send them a glamour shot and be photoshopped in later. April flatly stating that she's not even going to show up in the picture anyway because she's a vampire. Andy asking April if for the picture, should I be Burt Macklin, Johnny Karate, or putting on a stethoscope? My new character, Sergeant Thunderfist, MD. Donna encouraging Andy to be Burt Macklin because Macklin's the hottest. Ron urging them to get on with it, complaining that I can't hold this smile forever. I look ridiculous.
What smile? Yes.
Jerry finishes setting up the camera and runs back to join the gang. And they stand there waiting for the photo to be taken. We hear the camera beeping as it counts down. The camera then centers on Leslie and Ben. And as it does, we hear End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys start playing in the background. And we see Ben glance over at Leslie and gently say, you ready, babe? And Leslie looks back at Ben, smiles, and nods, yes. And then she pauses, looks straight into the camera with a big smile, and says, I'm ready.
Wow.
And we then see the end credits roll.
Nice. Yeah. That would normally be a fade to black moment for us, but they didn't do that here.
They didn't. So what happens here, if I can continue on, we see the end credits roll. And as I said, we're hearing the End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys continuing to play. Great song.
It was awesome.
While all this is happening, we see several miniature screens pop up all over the place during the credits as we essentially see outtakes from the entire series. I mean, stuff from season one, season two, everything.
Yeah.
And we see the cast and crew laughing and clearly having a good time with each other, clearly loving what they're doing on there. The very last things were shown is a full screen shot, a short video clip of the entire gang in a huge group hug together. Like Jerry's wearing the coffee pot. Yeah. So he had on at the beginning of the episode, which suggests that maybe this was their goodbye to each other for real, like the cast.
Yeah.
And then you hear the director say, that is a series wrap on Parks and Recreation.
Wow.
Now note, apparently my understanding is, Alan, after the end of the final credits, when we see the cast members kind of embrace one last time, as the director says, that's a series wrap. Yeah. Originally, when this was aired, there was some sort of dedication to the then recently passed away Harris Whittle.
It's a Harris,
very sweet and very classy.
Yeah.
And I watched the DVD version, as did you, both the production and the standard versions. And this didn't show up on either one of them. So I assume this was added as part of the live broadcast.
I think it was. Well, because he passed about 2 weeks or a week or so before after this was filmed, but before it aired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Apropos.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it.
That's a series wrap.
That's a series wrap.
Wow.
I have to go cry now somewhere, but
okay. I know. I'm gonna go borrow your closet for a minute, and I'll be right back. With that said, let's take a break.
Yes, let's do that.
I don't know if we have a sponsor for today, but we're gonna take a break either way.
I don't even care.
It didn't matter. we'll dead air this baby. We'll come back. We'll do our normal stuff, and then we'll wrap this up, and we'll send everybody home.
You got it, man.
All right. We'll be right back, everybody.
Are you looking for an exciting new career? Then hang tight, as we might have the perfect job for you. Hello, this is Ron Swanson. Now pay close attention, because I might have the very job that will change your life. All you have to do is answer yes or no to the following simple questions, and we will quickly find out if you have what it takes to join us here at the very good building and development company in our newest role, apprentice woodworker. Now, I am aware that may not sound that exciting, but do not let the title fool you. Even our vice president, Don Swanson, is only a level 3 novice plus per our exacting standards, and he has worked here since we opened 4 years ago and has 23 years experience in woodworking. He is also not my brother, despite the very similar name. That would be nepotism, and that is not something we openly support here at VGBDC. Certainly, we can all agree that using your God-given talents to shape raw materials into something stunning that will last for generations is a noble profession. But we still need to be able to stand working with you. So, without further ado, let's get started with round one of our specially designed Fear Factors quiz, not related to the popular game show, to see if you have what it takes to be considered. All right, here we go. Factors 1, 2, and 3. Please take a step backward and have a seat if you respond no to any of these. Number 1, I consider myself self-sufficient and work independently. Number 2, I appreciate the value of a good day of hard work. And number 3, you have never been considered creative or artistic. For those of you still standing, congratulations, you move on to round 2. For those of you now seated, I am afraid that you are welcome to find other work. Maybe try the local supermarket or the library. All right, moving on to round 2. Here are factors 4, 5, and 6. Once again, please take a step backwards and have a seat if you answer no to any of these. Number 4, I am comfortable using everyday household tools and own at least a basic set of tools. Number 5, I know the difference between a wood screw and a metal screw and when to use each. And number 6, I know more than the guy working at my local Home Depot. If you find yourself seated at this point, thank you for coming. There is no door prize, only shame, and we wish you the best of luck. At Baskin Robbins or perhaps your local pet store. For those of you who still remain, welcome to round 3, our final and most difficult round. As before, you answer no to any question, you take a seat. Strap in. Number 7. I am confident working with a variety of wood species from domestic soft maple to East India rosewood. Number 8. I know my way around a Grizzly G1033Z or Powermatic 15HH industrial planer. And, for all the marbles, number 9. Anyone who claims that cabins are more about the experience than the build and can be beautiful even if they are made of something other than natural wood should be publicly ridiculed until they go away. If you are now seated, well, enjoy your complimentary beverage and please get the f*** out. For those of you still standing, congratulations. You are now invited to formally apply at www.vgdbc.com/ihavewhatittakes to schedule an appointment with us in the shop so that we can perform a hands-on test of your skills. It is polite at this point that I wish you good luck. However, I will be transparent. I am pretty much ready to wait until my son John is 7 or 8 and have him join the business. At the rate he is learning, he'll be better than most candidates by then and certainly old enough to take on the responsibility. You should see him work the bench. Oh, I don't think I've ever seen anything more precious. Thank you. That is all.
Everybody, we're back. Mark, I think, I didn't use the whole palette of tissue, but I feel better now.
Yeah.
Had a good moment and I'm ready to do this. Mark, here's what I'll do. I'll tell you what. I put a lot of work into this. Mm. I'm going to cover our deleted scenes.
Go for it.
You ready?
Yep.
There were none.
Nailed it.
All right, done. Let's move on.
Let's move
on. Tropes first, fun facts. Mark, I feel like Let me go first on tropes.
All right.
All right. All of them.
Nailed done. It.
Okay, see, I mean, man, this is easy today.
Classic. This is great.
I have a feeling you may be prepared more.
I mean, yeah. But
seriously, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Tell me how I'm right.
Well, in all ways, as always, Sir thank Alan of the Round Table, good Lord
you.
And a half.
Yes, I never get tired of hearing it.
Tell you what, let me make a note about first initially.
Yeah, of course.
Because I expected, as this is the last episode, what the hell first
they're going to be first.
But then I considered it, every time we jump into the future, we're finding something out for the first time.
Yeah.
So just very quick list.
Yeah.
We first learn about Teach Yourself.
Yep.
We first see Craig and Typhoon get married and live happily ever after. I mean, for Craig, at least. we get to see April and Andy's son, Jack, and apparently another one's on the way. Yep. We learn about Tom's smash hit book, Failure, an American success story, and the follow-up book he's planning, Failure 2.0, Failing to Fail. We learn that Anne and Chris will be moving back to Pawnee and that Chris will be running admissions at Indiana University.
Yep.
We first learn that Jerry was formally elected mayor of Pawnee.
Right.
And not only that, was elected at least 10 times in a row, making his time in office probably nearly as impressive as Mayor Gunderson's.
Pretty close. Maybe longer.
We learn Brandy Max was elected to the president of city council. Not too shabby. We learn a conspiracy theorist, Morris Lerpus, is eventually elected to city council. We see one of the Parks and Rec gang actually die.
Yeah.
Although Jerry did live to be 100, so that's not really too bad at all. He's well loved. We learn Shauna Mulway Tweep and Bobby Newport get married. We learn Ron quits very good building and development company and ends up becoming a park ranger, thanks to Leslie.
Yeah.
We learn Ben successfully became an Indiana congressman, because I don't think we really, really knew that until this final.
That.
He was in transition to it, but we don't know that he succeeded until this episode.
That is correct.
And we learn Leslie was elected governor of Indiana.
Yes.
So that's what I have for first. For tropes, I'm going to time myself, and I can go through all these real quick. There is an embarrassing, embarrassing glut of these.
I wasn't kidding when I said all of them. I started writing them down, and I'm like, I got a hand cramp, and I said, what's the point?
I've been working out, Alan.
Okay,
I've been working out.
It.
I can do this.
Do it. Go.
All right.
We'll speed you up in post, too. You'll sound like a chipmunk. Go.
Awesome. Okay, here we are. Tropes. April and Andy love Halloween. Andy calls shotgun. April claims she's a vampire. Alter egos, Johnny Karate, Burt Macklin, Janet Snakehole. April hates Anne. April is creepy. April looks up to Leslie, aka Leslie the mentor. Benches are meaningful. Ben doesn't get it. Ben gets Leslie. I'm going to touch on that in a second. Ben is a nerd. Ben loves calzones. Ben loves Leslie. City Hall fourth floor. Creepy. City Hall murals. Chris is always healthy. Craig is crazy. Cones of Dunshire. Chris says literally. Donna and Tom are peas in a pod. Donna and April's trip to Venezuela. Donna has Donna-tude. Donna loves Joe. Donna thinks Andy is hot, in this case, Burt Macklin.
Yep.
Donna the realtor. Food-driven Ron. Fun with names, lots. Grizzle devices are everywhere. Jam and Leslie are frenemies. Jen Barkley is a force of nature. Jerry, Gary, Larry, Terry, Barry. Jerry has a good life. Jam loves hibachis. John Ralphio and Mona Lisa are ridiculous. John Ralphio, the con man. Jerry the notary. Joe loves Donna's red thing. Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Leslie Ann compliments. Leslie comes up with headlines when talking to Shauna Mulway Tweep. Leslie gives the best gifts. Leslie hates libraries. Leslie has a thankless job. Leslie hates vegetables. Leslie is the glue. Leslie note binders. Leslie lusts after Ben. Leslie loves Anne forever. Leslie loves Joe Biden. Leslie loves waffles. Leslie makes great speeches. Leslie pros and cons list. Leslie the servant leader. Lousy with Lerpuses. Morris Lerpus, the conspiracy theorist. Mugs to the camera, April and Ben in particular.
Yeah.
Overly cheerful Chris, over the top Leslie, punching bag Jerry, punching bag Kyle. Ron dislikes emotion. Ron hates change. Ron hates the government. Ron loves gold. Ron loves his cabins. Ron loves Lagavulin's. Ron loves the outdoors. Ron loves Willie Nelson's. Ron's middle name is Ulysses. Ron's red shirt. Ron and Typhoon are buddies. Ron the craftsman. Ron the mentor. Ron values Leslie. Shauna Mulway Tweep's horrendous relationship. Sweet stupid Andy. Sweet stupid Bobby Newport. Season 7 time jumps. Tom bounces back from failure. Tom's famous photo. I'll touch on that later.
Yep.
Tommy likes to be well-dressed. Trevor Nelson doesn't get it. Tom Petty related background music. And treat yourself.
Dear God. Mark, thank you. Two, what's most impressive about that is that you came up with them in alphabetical order. They occurred to you in alphabetical order.
That's amazing. It's what Excel can do for me.
Yeah.
I really need to get in better shape.
Wow.
I said a long sentence and I nearly passed
out. How many was that, by the way?
Like 60 at least.
Yeah.
I think if I looked at it here, there are 83.
And I'm not going to say you missed any, but I'm guessing you missed one or two.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't tell you what
there's
they
83
were.
There's 83 here.
Point.
I said 83 of
83.
Them.
83.
Now, you know what? I do want to take a moment if I can. And because that's a
it's
lot
almost
of stuff.
Like if that many tropes, I would have expected a terrible episode with almost no dialogue.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think of those, here are my top 10 favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what were
first of all, I love the whole concept of alter egos. I've yeah. always loved yeah. those. The whole Burt Macklin, Janet Snake yeah, Hole, yeah, Johnny Crotty, all those. I have something that I said Ben gets Leslie. And I almost said Ben loves Leslie,
yeah.
but I want to put Ben gets Leslie.
Okay.
Because I think that's why he stepped aside and let her run for governor instead yeah. of him. He gets her. He
yeah.
gets that. Like, he would love to do it, but yeah. this is a dream for her. And that's, I think
it was in her
different.
Kindergarten journal.
It's different though yeah. from loving her. He gets her.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
Grizzle devices are everywhere.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Grizzle, whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
Jerry has a good life.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Joe loves Donna's red thing. That's just funny.
Yeah.
Ron's red shirt and Tom's little cartoon.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
Ron and Typhoon are buddies.
Yep.
Like I said, that hit me harder than I thought it was
yep.
going to. That was yep. well done. Season 7 time jumps, just because yep. I thought it was noteworthy.
Yep.
Tom's famous photo. So if you remember back in season 2, he used this
oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
his book cover.
Yeah,
he's in a
this.
Suit. He's sitting down at a table. He's holding a tiny
he's
cup of coffee.
Yeah.
He's kind of looking pensively off to one
yes.
side. First appears in season 2. It's incredible. And it's been
yes.
around since that time. It's like yeah. that photo will not
six seasons
die.
Long, yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And finally, Tom Petty related background music.
Yeah.
We've commented a lot of times all throughout the series
yeah,
that they,
use
they
of music,
when,
yeah.
When they purposefully use music,
yeah.
they use it well.
They really do.
And it's often Tom Petty related.
Yeah.
Not always, but it often is. And I think they use it to great effect. And this is no exception to that.
Great point.
That's what I got.
No, that's great. That's a great top 10 list and a great list of 80 plus
Good
tropes.
Lord, yes.
But
no, you
yeah.
were right, though. All of them.
All of them.
Done.
I mean, certainly, if there were others, and maybe Food Driven Ron wasn't in there because it,
oh, it was.
Didn't, was it in there?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know, man.
I'll take that steak to go, please
oh,
and thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, like literally, they did not miss a beat.
Nope.
Which is great because, like, again, we've said it many times. These are the things that make this place the Springfield.
The
if you
live
will.
Action Springfield.
Right.
It, that's right.
It's to, like, this is a place to us.
Right. It is,
we still joke that we're an hour north of Pawnee.
Yeah.
I literally wrote it to someone the other day.
I know you did, Chris.
So, yeah, and I love that Chris is coming back to IU.
Right.
That's great. So, wow. Whew.
I saw some goofs online.
Yeah, I saw the
I didn't
ones.
Think that they were very noteworthy.
I might disagree with one of them.
Yeah, I couldn't
the,
see the cameraman.
Perfect craftsmanship one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they said that because basically previously in season, I think, 6, Ron said, you know, he doesn't like perfect craftsmanship.
It's like making his chairs.
Yeah, because
yeah.
it looks like it was
machine made.
Well, this is about safety.
Yes.
When he says it in
yeah,
this context.
I agree.
So just shut your trap hole. It's
right.
Not, it's not a goof. This
I
was a perfect episode. There were no goofs.
I did have some interesting fun facts. How about you?
I got a couple, but I bet you have mine would be my guess. What do you got?
So here's some. There is a lot in this one. And
there
I'm gonna skip
not as many
over,
as tropes.
I'm
going to
skip over some of the what I thought were the more basic ones. And
okay.
I'm going to get to the ones I thought were more
Fair
interesting.
Enough.
So, Alan, between seasons 2 and 7, apparently every season finale was scripted carefully so that it would serve, if needed, as a viable series finale if NBC decided to cancel the show due to its low ratings. The network did give the show a lot of foreknowledge time that season 7 would definitively be the last one.
Right.
So the entire 7th season and the series finale could be written to pull everything that the show wanted to do together at the end. So
and they sure
did a great
yes.
job. Jerry dies on his 100th birthday, and they remark this is an appropriate age, actually, as his birthday is leap day.
Oh.
So other years, it would not have been his actual birthday.
That's true.
That's just kind of a throwaway, but that's kind of interesting.
It's awesome. Yeah.
The producer's cut, we said this, the producer's cut of this double size series finale includes Jam and Sean Mulway Tweep, like
right.
two future stories. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We already said that.
Yeah.
John Ralphio tells Leslie
oh.
that he loved her. Remember
yeah.
that? I didn't know this, and I want to know if you did. Ben Schwartz,
yeah.
the actor who plays John Ralphio,
yeah.
was originally cast as Leslie's love interest, Dave Sanderson.
I never knew that.
I
hadn't heard it again like in years.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Mike Schur wanted Lucy
what
Lawler.
What a terrible decision that would have been.
I agree. He was much better as John
oh,
Ralphio.
My God.
Mike Schur wanted Lucy Lawless to reprise her role as Ron's wife, Diane, for the final
yeah.
season. But unfortunately, they just couldn't get their schedules
yeah.
lined up. I don't think it's that she wasn't willing
yeah,
to come
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
When Andy, Chris Pratt, is handing out candy. One of the kids is dressed as Star-Lord.
I love that. That's so good. I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute.
John Daly, yeah. the citizen who requested that the broken swing yeah. be fixed, yeah. is the same guy who in the pilot was Leslie got out of the slide.
Yeah.
When we That is awesome. That is bookending
when
there.
When we were watching that clip there, I'm like, holy crap, that is the swing guy.
Yeah. The canoe that Ron Swanson rides, yes. Lucky Boy, yeah. was actually crafted by Nick Offerman himself for yep. YouTube maker and TV show host Jimmy DiResta.
Yeah. And with the provision that he can borrow it whenever the hell he wants.
That's
and
right.
he does.
That's yes. right. Yes. And I will, please and thank you.
Please and thank you.
I thought this was interesting. One idea, apparently, for the finale was that the show would reveal how each character would eventually die. Chris Pratt actually pitched potential deaths for April and Andy, with Andy dying from being locked inside a hot car like a dog, and April dying from a broken heart shortly thereafter. Aww. Apparently, the entire death angle was eventually scrapped as it was deemed a little too
dark
for, yeah. for the
I
show.
I think having Gary die in such happy circumstances
yes, that kind of negates
fine.
It. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, Alan, here's something that I know you've been poking at me for like yeah. most of this coverage.
Yeah.
There's one thing that we wanted
Please
to talk
tell
about.
Me about Secret Service. Like, what would you find?
I have one final.
Because are there facts here? Are there theories and fun? Is this fun theories?
Maybe. Let me tell you.
All right.
I have one final thing to share, and here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, both listeners and viewers alike.
Yeah.
The storyline for the series finale very strongly suggests, but does not outright say,
yes.
that as part of their rocket ride to the top of American politics,
right.
either Leslie Knope, two-term governor of Indiana, or Ben Wyatt, Indiana congressman, has been elected president of the United States.
Right.
And the producers decided to make the question of which of them was currently president of the United States unanswered. Now, one theory from the fans and critics is that Leslie has become president because the sequence of scenes goes from her giving that farewell speech at Indiana University after two terms of governor and talking about embarking on a new adventure. And maybe that's what she was talking about. Another theory is that Leslie had maybe previously been president and Ben has now been elected to the same office, so that Leslie is now talking about being the first lady and the security details in place because all former presidents have one. Who knows? Anyway, either way you slice it, we will never know for sure. It was an inspired choice. And I'll say this, Alan.
Yeah.
Traditionally, like the sort of TV watcher I am,
yeah.
I typically don't care for like ambiguous endings. I'm yeah. like, I'm not a big fan of like Lost and all that.
I've noticed that. I'm
going to go on record and say, I'm okay with this. I like the way that they did this because either way that makes me happy.
They did some things purposely in the coverage of this. If you notice that the middle Secret Service guy who leans in between them.
Doesn't go to either one. Is it right in the middle?
But he does go to one of them first.
Mm.
And it's Ben.
Mm.
And so whether that's, but it's very
is it a
quickly,
clue or is it just a throwaway?
Well, and it could also be that he's hard of hearing, so he's got to get his attention first.
Mm.
It could be any number of things
Old
if
man
you
Wyatt.
Want to talk yourself into it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And I read Leslie's, you know, what comes next thing in the IU speech at Fake IU as being, you know, she's not going to be governor. She knows that, so
right.
she's going to figure it out.
Right.
I like it being open ended.
Right.
And at the end of the day, like the governorship, probably either of them could have done the job.
Right.
So that's terrific.
That's all I got.
I love it.
Should we do scores? Well, right. I still have it in me to do this.
Yeah, let's get it done.
All right.
Let's just
bolt forward. All right.
Let's do it. Yes.
All right. Co-MVPs. All right. Here they are. Here's the only things I could come up with.
All right.
Mike Schur. Amy Poehler.
We're in agreement. Spoil it right now. I said the same thing. What else could we do?
And so let me tell why
yeah,
I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's the reason you did. So, Alan, I want to say initially I thought I was going to just wax lyrical yeah. and go on and on and on about this fantastic series finale, and I thought better of it. So yeah. I'm going to keep this, for me, relatively short.
Oh,
we'll
so
see if
17
I can
minutes. Okay,
yeah,
go.
Shut up. So first things first, my yeah. co-MVPs. Look, here's the reality. I yeah. think for this episode, you can ask 50 different people their picks for this episode, and you're going to get 50 different answers. And in any case, I say very few of them would be considered wrong by me because this is that good yeah. of an episode. Yeah. And everyone had a chance to really, really shine. Now, having said that, I can easily defend my picks. Alan, you and I have constantly said how lucky we are and how grateful we are at the amazing list of people that we've had the privilege to interview.
Yes.
Now, one thing that all of them have had in common. They have all had glowing things to say about one Ms. Amy Poehler.
Yeah, that's true.
And bear in mind, this goes beyond her utter brilliance at portraying Leslie Knope throughout the series. This goes to what an awesome person Amy Poehler is.
Yeah.
The sort of person who makes every single guest star, no matter how big or small, feel right at home on set with the bigger names. The sort of person who constantly cracked up with everyone during the fun runs, the sort of person who just got silly for the hell of it with dance parties every afternoon in her trailer.
And Amy, who would read lines with extras, with, you know, reoccurring cast members, basically, instead of having someone else do that.
Yeah.
That's just
she was hands-on. Amy Poehler led the tone of the show.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Like she made
we
it.
Heard so it many times.
It was tremendously fun.
Yeah.
Tremendously fun for anyone who would come and work on the show, which is really saying something. So to top all this off, like that, everything I just said, fantastic. Amy did a fantastic job of using Leslie in this episode when I think Leslie is at her best.
Yeah.
Working hard, giving thoughtful, eloquent speeches, and loving her friends.
I don't think she annoyed me a single time.
Leslie Knope is the protagonist for Parks and Recreation. And in this episode especially, she is truly the glue that holds everything together.
Yep.
Well done, Amy.
Yep.
Now, Mike Schur, the dude is the prime mover behind all this.
Yeah.
The show wouldn't exist without him. He's a multi-talented man who let the best talents run free while corralling the more subtle talents to get the most out of them. He's a great writer. He's a funny bit player, an all-around good guy and smart guy. He's the guy who was able to tell one Mr. Chris Pratt, yeah, you can do your little raccoon movie, only to find that now he's one of the biggest freaking stars in the world. Bravo, sir. Yeah. Well done. Your legacy is safe.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to like leave Greg out of this.
No.
But I think at the end of the day, there's a point where Greg kind of steps out and does other things. And Mike is running the show, right?
Right.
And Amy's a showrunner too, but more as like she's the heart of the show. Mike's, I'm going to say it, brains, just because I need a different organ.
Yeah, it's Scarecrow versus Tin Man.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you putting the two of them together here at the end is not only apropos, but boy, did they do an amazing job.
They really did.
Yeah.
And Alan, I'm going to do my best to keep this brief. So I'll say it like this. And you've heard me say this before. I'm a sucker for a happy ending.
Sure. Well, who isn't? Well, I think most people are.
I think there are people out there
for the underdog
aren't.
And the come from behind win and for, again, for a happy ending.
I think that in many cases, you're right. I think that there is a portion out there who feels like that maybe is too, quote, schmaltzy and like saccharine sweet.
Well, and that's what I meant by done right. I think there's a done wrong version of it where I'm like, okay.
But I'm not only am I a sucker for a happy ending, I'm also a sucker for finales. You don't look at me lost. I'm a sucker for finales that tell us how things end up for everyone.
Yeah.
I know some people may not like that. They like there to be like unknowns and some ambiguity and something left to wonder and debate about. Not this guy. So this struck both of those notes for me.
Yeah.
It explained everything and it was happy endings and I'm a sucker for it. So yay. You know, this show built on everything that's come before it to reach the pinnacle here that, quite frankly, I think hit some of the fans of the show harder than ending some long-term relationships they've had. I mean, some fans were affected like that.
Yeah.
It's that good of a show.
Well, 7 years. I mean, The Office did 9, but right. I'll argue that its heart died in the 7th season, too.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think, you know, 7 years is a long run.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The series finale for me was utterly and completely satisfying. And, you know, Alan, one other thing I've mentioned before, and I feel like it has some bearing here as well. I've talked about like how fair it is for shows that really reach a zenith or a high point to be given like 100% of the credit for that big moment. When in truth, it's the culmination of everything that came before it. It's truly standing on the shoulders of the proverbial giants, right?
Well, and just like Mike and Amy writing such a good episode, we know the rest of the writer's room was involved.
Right.
And the writer's room, to get to this point, had written 123 other episodes on which this one is based.
Yep. So I have to ask myself, given that a huge reason that the series finale hits as hard as it does is due to the multitude of shows that came before it, blah, 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 reaching, you know, weaving a rich tapestry of lore, all that stuff. So having said all that, is it really fair, so to speak, that I'm giving such praise, such high marks, such glowing accolades to the series finale? Well, I've deliberated on this for a while and I have my answer. Yeah, it is fair.
It's fair.
Because to me, These episodes, like this, give us, the fans, the perfect opportunity to admire the show in its entirety, whether we realize it or not, simply because of the fact that it is standing on the shoulder of giants and we don't even realize it, which is the mark of a very good show.
It sure
is. It's seamless. Yeah. And you don't even realize how awesome it is while you're looking at it.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the main journeys, but you know what? We've already covered those plenty.
Yeah.
I do want to do a quick rundown, Alan, of the guest stars. I'll make this very quick.
Sure.
When I say coming back, I'm only referring to the Parks and Rec 2020 special.
Okay. I was going to ask you.
So yes, main cast coming back. Amy Poehler, Adam Scott, Nick Offerman, Chris Pratt, Aubrey Plaza, Jim O'Hare, Retta, and Aziz Ansari. That's not a surprise.
Yeah. And at that time, though, no one knew anybody was coming back.
No, absolutely not. They thought this was it.
It.
Not done yet, meaning non-main cast coming back.
Okay.
You got Rashida Jones as Ann Perkins, Rob Lowe as Chris Traeger, Paul Rudd as Bobby Newport, Ben Schwartz as John Raphael Saperstein, Jay Jackson as the great Pert Hapley, John Glazer as Councilman Jerry Jam. And we will also see, although they weren't in this episode, we will also see Mo Collins, Megan Mullally, and Jason Mantzoukas in the 2020 special. That's true. Again, they weren't in this episode.
Right.
Saying goodbye, meaning recurring characters, and this is like the last time we see them.
Goodbye.
The great Billy Eichner is Craig Middlebrooks. That's Catherine Hahn is Jennifer Barkley. Christopher Brinkley as Christine Brinkley. Good Christopher Brinkley. Good Lord.
He's her brother.
As Gail Gurgit. Shut up. Henry Winkler is Dr. Lou Saperstein. Natalie Morales is Lucy Santo Domingo. Jenny Slate is Mona Lisa Saperstein. Keegan-Michael Key as Joe Meagle.
Oh, yeah.
Allison Becker is the Tweep.
Yep.
Mark Evan Jackson, I love this guy, as the lawyer terrific. Trevor Nelson.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mara Marini, the great Mara Marini, as Brandy Max. Helen Slayton Hughes, rest in peace, as Ethel Beavers, love her.
Yep.
Rodney Toe as Typhoon. Joe Mandy as Morris Lurpus, the conspiracy therapist. Andy Forrest as Punching Bag Kyle.
Yep.
Joe Biden as himself.
Yep.
Herbert Russell as Lon Swanson. Michael Strassner as Von Swanson. And John Daly as John, the guy who got shoved out of the slide and also who wanted to get the swing picks.
Dr. Jill Biden as herself.
Well, that's a one and done.
Ah, okay.
So good in point. One and done, I have Horatio Sands as clergyman Horatio Sands.
He was a one and done,
Eugene Cordero as Minister Zorpak 7, who I think was residing over Jerry's funeral. Dave King as Rabbi Kurt Lurpus.
And by the way, did you get fun with names in your tropes? Because Minister Zorpak 7, Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's some others. You know, we have the ones who played like the kids. They were great. But I can stop there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say this list almost rivals the season 6 finale. I think it still comes in second place, but not by a lot.
Not by a lot. If I put them side by side, it's 3 or 4. I mean, it's that low.
So, Alan, the only nitpick I have for this, the series is now over except for the 2020
special.
There's
no 7.13.
And I'm sad and I don't want to go on and I may need even more therapy after this, but that's it. Okay. Look, the ball is rolling down the hill. I got to use this momentum. I'm just going to launch into my scoring.
Yep. Go for it.
Okay. I can't even do it. Okay. Look, I'm having a really hard time with this.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
There have been shows in the
base past. Base score 10. No, I'm sorry.
There have been shows in the past that broke the crazy Mark rubric.
Yeah.
But this one just took it over its knee and utterly irrevocably shattered it into pieces. Like my genuine concern is that if I tried to score this, it would be something like 35 points for the standard version and like 50 points for the producer. It's like it's lost all meaning.
Yeah.
Now I can hear some of them out there saying, you know, Mark,
on that though for a second though.
Yeah.
Did you feel there was a substantive, because again, I did not watch the non-producers cut. Would you have scored them differently if it were simpler to score them?
I suppose I like the producer's cut more because there was more goodness there. I like the additional, you know, storylines into the
future. That makes math relatively easy.
And there were some other things that I thought were very nice additions, when Andy went up to Dr. Lou Saperstein and went, you know, I have skills. Like he did the monologue from Taken. I thought that was cute.
That was great.
Yeah. So I like the producer's cut more, but my God, like I would score this 1,000 for everything. Everything's lost all meaning.
Fair enough.
There are probably people out there who's like, you know, Mark, you're a lunatic. You can't do that. And then some of them are probably saying, go ahead and score it 50. This is your last episode. Yeah. What can they do? Take away your parking space. But I'm not. So this is what I'm going to say about this episode.
Yeah.
There have been two episodes before this, and we've talked about this, that broke the Mark rubric, specifically the Double Size season 6 premiere London and the even bigger Double Size season 6 finale moving up. And for both of them, my unofficial official score was something that I'm also going to do for this one. I'm giving them a special rare score that I like to call beyond category. Which I still maintain to this day makes sense, because you can't really fairly compare any of these super-sized, double-sized episodes to a normal 21.5-minute show. It's not a fair fight. It's watching the 100-pound guy face off against a 300-pound behemoth and expecting them to try it. It ain't going to happen. Now, having said that, if I had to take these three super-sized giants and rank them, I'd say this one. This one takes my favorite of all time. This takes the gold. Second place would probably go to the season 6 finale moving up. That takes the silver, and bronze, but still stellar in every respect, is the season 6 premiere London.
So that's a bit of a sneak peek of maybe what some of the stuff you might say in our series recap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Now, having blathered on about all that, here's Mark's official score in the record books.
Yeah.
This episode, the series finale, 10.
Yeah.
Furthermore, scoring separately from this episode, but just as importantly, Mike Schur, 10. Amy Poehler, 10.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec as a series, 10. You rock the scuba or whatever. I don't care what you do at this point. I am done. I'm emotionally spent. You just do whatever. Go ahead.
I'm just going to comment on a couple of things you said and not offer alternative points of view, but maybe add a little to them.
Oh, don't you dare not give this a 10.
No. So hold on. So it's all good. So same MVPs, right? We talked about
all right,
about
we agreed
why.
On that. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's – I mean, it was hard to do anything else. I mean, everyone did a great job. Like I said, it was great seeing Chris and Ann back. It was even nice to see Andy Forrest for one line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they had a lot – they had a certain amount of capital. It's like having a budget.
Yep.
And they spent it on the right things.
Right.
Like that's one thing I would say.
Well said.
Thank you. I would say that while you say that it's sappy or potentially sappy for some people who don't love the happy ending to have this kind of here's how everyone's future went, I've always liked that. And I think people tend not to do it for fear of doing it. And I think that's a smart fear to have. But when you've got a good answer to give, go on and do it, because this worked. Like, and I would argue there's still unknowns. We don't know, like the whole Ben and Leslie, we don't really know. We know generally, and we don't know what happened in Gary's 17th term. And we don't know what, like, there's still, you could go write episodes and fanfic.
There could be a Brandy Mack spinoff of her time on city council.
Exactly right. Can you imagine? I want to be a fly on the wall of one of her meetings that she leads.
You know,
because I mean, she's got to take a break every 3 hours to make a new movie.
All right. You know what? There is that.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't think she'd be a bad leader.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
We always said that Brandy was like,
she's got charisma.
She's got charisma. She's clearly got a heart. And she's civically minded.
She's good at communicating with people.
All of the
above.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
So anyway, and Mara's lovely, by the way. She was a great guest.
Yeah, she was a great guest.
We loved having her. So I found it particularly well done. Maybe the one thing you didn't say that I'll add in here. So, you know, some of the great episodes have been built on the episodes that came before, but specifically arcs that were created to set them up to succeed, right? The build up to the Harvest Festival. I think it's really particularly interesting here that this episode did not use the rest of season 7 to arc it. Episodes 1 through 11 pretty much stand on their own. There's some arc in there, but there's no, hey, this is our, we're wrapping up. Let's build up for 11 episodes to the final thing because we know we're ending. No, this episode starts off with, oh, by the way, this is it. We're done. Now let's have a great finale. And they did.
Yeah.
That's particularly impressive
that
they did not use any ramp to get here. And you could argue that it was somewhat abrupt. But I won't count that as a real criticism because I don't think it matters. And I don't think the episode doesn't suffer for it. Some episodes you start with a hard whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get over it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you maybe don't until 75% of the way through. Maybe this had the benefit of time being 58 minutes, whatever. I don't think so, though. I think this is okay. Like, we knew it was coming. We knew it was a finale.
Mm-hmm.
And just to say that, hey, today's the last day was enough.
Yeah.
I was impressed that they did not use any major thematic seasonal arc to get here and still have an amazing finale. So I just wanted to say that.
Well observed. I like that.
10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I mean, what else would we give it?
What else would we give it?
9.9, which we're not allowed to do.
So. I would only proffer two things just for contemplation, but you and I are agreed.
Yep.
One thing is that in a way, because it requires maybe a higher level of craftsmanship because you are limited, an episode like Leslie and Ben.
Yeah.
Only because you're limited to 21 and a half minutes. So it's like if you can pull together a 10 in that, in a sense,
it should be higher ranked. It's a higher 10, if you will.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. The Mark Rubric is broken. I'm done.
I get it.
But it's interesting. It's something to contemplate. Yeah. The other thing I would say is I can understand, like, I was a big fan of the show Roseanne.
Yeah.
So Roseanne didn't always have happy endings.
That's true.
It made it interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of that all the time, but I would also proffer that can be done well.
It can be done.
Having said that, I'm glad they did what they did with this.
Yeah, this is not that show, right?
This is not that show at all. This has always been optimistic.
I'd argue
they
had many episodes that ended with some ambiguity or a little bit of a down, you know, where the general theme of this show was happy-go-lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to have done anything else, and maybe that's why, like, the Pratt's idea around the death scenes could have been funny, could have been really well done, but it wasn't the tone of the show.
I agree.
So this was on message, on tone,
yep,
well executed, hard to improve upon.
Well said.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Well, I guess that's it. I think the only thing left to do is say goodbye.
Yep.
Hey, wait a minute. What about that post-it note from the end of the part one, that BRT?
That thing that said
be
BRT?
Right there? I don't know. Whatever
happened
tomato? With
that? I don't know. Be right there is probably what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Have no idea.
Wait a minute. I think it's happening again.
Oh, holy hell. Hold on.
Wait, is it back here?
Yeah. Yeah. Check the booth.
Uh-oh.
What is it, Mark?
Live from Pawnee is a copyrighted production of the creators. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved. Original music was created and performed by Aaron Emerson of Emerson Studios. Clips are used under fair use doctrine for the purpose of commentary and parody. Please see our website at livefrompawnee.com for more details or to contact us.